Well, let's talk about Desiree. So Mary Goodblood, which was our client, was friended on Facebook, surprisingly, by Desiree one night. They were peers in the same generation. Desiree messaged that she believed that Mary might be her sister, the son of Julian Goodblood, which would be Mary's father. Mary and Desiree agreed, because they thought it was kind of novel, that they should have a DNA test. Let me explain the cast of characters. So we have Mortimer Goodblood, who was actually a lumber magnate who had a very successful business in the Dallas area in lumber, and the family was quite wealthy as a result of that. He had, in our case, I'm making some fact changes a little bit to make it simpler. He had two sons, Julian Goodblood, and the other on the far left here, to the far right to you, Trusty Goodblood, which was Jillian's brother. Now, Jillian married Martha Goodblood over on the left, and they had Mary Goodblood, our client. They were married when they had her. She was a legitimate child. But Candy one night, and Jillian, presumably, at least by the claimant, Desiree, apparently had a night, and that's what resulted in Jillian. And before my client ever spoke to me, she did give up some DNA. So there was a previous relationship between Jillian and Candy before Desiree's birth. At the time, however, she was married to another man. She did get pregnant from that. It was actually a birthday party. It was apparently a birthday present. That was what came out in the deposition. That is a birthday present that they had a night, even though they were no longer dating. And that's where they claim Desiree was conceived. And she was dating another man and decided to marry him. So Desiree was actually born during a legal marriage of Candy and her husband, who ended up, they never got divorced, and he ended up passing away actually during our case. But years later, Desiree began to wonder why she looked different than her siblings, why her father, that was named on her birth certificate, didn't seem to be the gentleman that was raising her. And so Candy finally disclosed the previous relationship that she had with Jillian. Interestingly, this all happened just weeks after the news story broke that this lumber family sold their business for millions of dollars. So Jillian and her brother Trusty, and his brother Trusty, had a trust inheritance from Mortimer. Now, this is where we kind of change the facts a little bit so we can get to different types of estates, because it really does matter the way the laws are in Texas now. So the stock, we say, all in the family businesses were all held in trust. There was a will that conveyed a house and the contents of the house all to the children. It didn't go to the surviving spouse. And mineral interests passed by intestacy because they failed to give a full residuary clause that captured everything, and the only thing that wasn't mentioned in the will was mineral interest, so now we have intestacy, and we'll get to talk about how that matters. When it came to the trust, the stock in the trust, each son had their own trust. Interestingly, I guess I hadn't said this yet, Jillian died in 1994. Okay. So it was many, many years before this case ever came about. But Desiree did file suit demanding half of Jillian's trust assets because she claimed she was his descendant. So I'll ask you all, do you think, on the little bit of facts I've given you so far, and just raise your hand, do you believe that Desiree should get the assets, we'll say, of all facets of the estate, intestacy, will, and trust? Does anybody think that she should get it all or half of it? No, nobody. Okay, well, you may be presuming an answer, but we'll see. All right, so here are the questions. Actually, and a lot of interplay occurs between, or you would think it would occur between the family code and the estates code, but in fact, the family code is really geared toward finding out who a father is for purposes of child support. So it's based on a living father being determined to be the parent of a living child who needs child support. That has sort of been borrowed by the estates code to some degree, and so some of the paternity tests, I'll talk about that more in a minute, are related to the family code, but they are different. But I'll just ask you, do you think, at this point, that Jillian's, that Desiree is Jillian's child. How many think that she is? Okay, we got a number. All right. The next question would be, if there isn't a will, or the will doesn't address the asset, like in our case, for inheritance purposes, do you think, assuming that there is paternity, that that Desiree would be able to claim a share of the intestate, the estate, the minerals? How many people think that? Okay, a few more. Okay, we're getting there. Now let's talk about the will and the trust. So does the language of the documents permit an illegitimate child to take under Jillian's will or Mortimer's trust? Now, in this particular trust, we'll talk about it some more. Actually, I'm going to tease you a little bit. I'm going to say, let's just say the trust says descendants, that this grandfather Mortimer said, I'm leaving this to my son Jillian, and Jillian's trust will pass to his descendants, and no further word than that is said after he dies. How many think that Desiree would benefit from the trust with that word descendants? Okay, good number. Okay, good. All right, then the final question, which is really probably one of the most disturbing questions I found, was when does the statute of limitations cut this off? I mean, the guy died 25 years before this claim ever arose. Surely there isn't a claim, and we'll talk about all of these questions here in just a moment. And it does differ depending on the kind of estate we have.